BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/6music.
BBC Radio Six Music.
Screen Six with Edith Bowman.
Hello. Welcome to this week's free download. Screen Six was a very busy place this week. We were joined in the studio by the brilliant Nick Duncalf and Julia Rayside. And we celebrated our inner geekness because it was Geek Week on YouTube this week. And you guys got involved as well. Film-wise, we talked about Alpha Papa. We also talked about The Lone Ranger. And we heard from Mr. Johnny Depp. 5.5 minutes I had with the man, and you can hear the results of it. And we also talked about a brand new Saturday night family entertainment programme called That Puppet Game Show. That's the one. Find out what we all thought about it and enjoy this week's Screen Six. Good morning, I should say good afternoon, it's 2 minutes after 12 and we are in Screen 6 and let's welcome our guest today. I've just put all the microphones up because I'm not sure who's on which. Hi Julia, you're live.
Hello.
I can hear you. Morning Nick.
Can you hear
good
me?
Morning Edith, how are you?
Julia and Nick join us on Six Music today for Screen 6. Very well, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm not bad, yeah, but you must just be still post-Depp, aren't you? Post Johnny Depp.
Well, you just asked me, what was it like?
She's all swooning.
You must have been answering it
what
all week.
Like? Well, I've got all 6 minutes with Johnny Depp, of which you can probably hear all of it in the before 1 o'clock today. And do you know what? There is something about him that he just has this...
What is it? Is it something about the way he looks?
Not, I don't know. He's not just fit. But it's like, do you know what? I think as well, the way that the kind of society's, you know, kind of over-obsessed with celebrity, it's almost like water down stars in a way, and you know, and famous people, because people just want to be famous.
There are far too many.
Exactly, but I think he's one of those type that are proper.
Still mysterious.
Mysterious, but yeah. Old, you know, kind of old school superstar. Yeah.
It's not like homeopathic fame with him. It's potent. It's real. It's chemical grade.
Yeah, and he just walks into a room and he just does something to you. He doesn't even have to look at you or touch you.
If only he could do it to several million people, Lone Ranger might make its money back.
Ow.
But we'll come to that.
Just because he's better looking than you, Nick. Seriously, chill out.
It's just a matter of opinion.
So you've seen Lone Ranger.
I have.
And what did you think of it? Well, I mean, I've seen it as well, so I'll tell you what I think.
Come on,
of it.
You first.
Well, you see, I went into it thinking about it being a kids' film. And I have no connection with The Lone Ranger in terms of the TV show and anything like that sort of thing.
Sure.
And I thought it was a bit long.
It's very long.
I laughed a lot. I thought the comedy and the banter between him and Armie Hammer was great. I really enjoyed that
good.
As well. I thought Ruth Wilson was great.
Happy for you.
I think it was just a bit long for me as well. But I think because I went in there with no preconception in terms of not kind of, you know, being a fan or of the Lone Ranger.
Nobody's going to go in with that preconception unless they're 70.
Okay.
That's
all right. Which you're not, I will add.
I know I'm not
radio,
70.
But you're not.
I do actually remember, this does make me sound terribly old, but I do remember them repeating Black and White Lone Ranger on Saturday morning sometimes.
Yeah.
When they used to do Champion the Wonder Horse and stuff like that.
Hi Ho Silver's about, but it's not even Hi Ho Silver, it's Hi Yo Silver.
Yes, that's right. In fact, they don't even mention that he's called Silver until the end, but because we all know that he's called Silver, you get that. Yeah. I went in I was hopeful. I'm not one of those film reviewers who just is looking for something to bash. Because I hate that. I don't like doing it. Let's just say that I wasn't... I was disappointed.
Okay.
I felt let down.
But the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Wow.
The whole thing. There wasn't anything that I liked about it. I really thought it was really, really awful. And that was because part of that was because I'd heard all sorts of word of mouth all the way through its production. People had said it wasn't, you know, that it was troubled and they'd cut bits of it and added new bits and all that kind of stuff. And so by the time it arrived, I'd actually started to hear things had started to turn. You know, people had then started to say it's not so bad. It's actually quite good. I'd read a couple of reviews that were all right, but I didn't like any of it. Not even Johnny. And that was one of the things that really disappointed me about it was Johnny Depp.
Get out of the studio.
I know.
Can we banish him now?
It is one of those things that you're not allowed to say.
Calling security now. He's not allowed back in.
Johnny's going to come in full white face with a bird on his head and get me.
His crow's coming after you.
his not at all
was
as funny
fun?
As everyone thought.
Was,
Crow.
There was a need for a, like a proper. There's no cowboy films on, and there haven't been for years.
Well, that's why
I was
make,
like, well,
know.
At least it'll be. I haven't seen it, but I was hopeful that it would at least be a kind of fun, kind of, you know, boys' own adventure that we could all kind of go back to our childhoods with.
What they've obviously tried to do, it's fairly obvious why they've done it. Apart from the fact they want to make loads of money out of it, but they've, you know, they've tried to do the same producer, same director, same star as Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, for example, I love the first Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought it was great. And, you know, by the end, not so much. But initially, great Jack Sparrow, brilliant character. So they've said, what other genre can we do that needs a bit of reviving? We can do a Western. Let's get Johnny in a wacky outfit again. Let's him do his own thing. Because Pirates of the Caribbean, when he turned up on set as Jack Sparrow first day, all the producers, all the executives, everybody absolutely, you know, panicked.
You just get the impression that they always let him do his own makeup. Yeah, because he always has the same look. Like, in my contract, I have to do my own makeup. Yeah, okay, Johnny, whatever you say.
Well, apparently
fine.
He did come up with the whole bird on the head.
Yeah, I imagine he did.
And all that. But I think, to be honest, there's too much on Johnny in this film.
Okay.
And I just didn't feel like the script was quite there. The tone is sort of all over the place. So there are bits of it. There's a guy, and like you say, even if you approach it as a kid's movie, Edith, there's a bit, the baddie in this film eats a guy's heart. That's pretty black Ooh. Stuff. Now, apparently there was a lot more of that. Apparently there was quite a supernatural element that they cut because they weren't sure how it was working out.
That was the thing, is kind of, you know, in terms of looking at it as a kid's film, wasn't just quite sure in terms of they got the tone right as to who it was aimed at and stuff. But I kind of think sort of, you know, sort of,
I feel, like I say, I feel sorry for it. I don't think it really knows what it is. I don't think it's quite funny enough to be a comedy. I don't think it's not exciting enough to be a Western. Although there are a couple of train, sort of runaway train bits, one at the beginning and one at the end, that, you know, hold your attention. But it's 2 hours, 10 minutes between the two of them. It's too long to wait.
We'd love to know if you've seen it. Get involved with us. Text us 64046 or you can tweet at BBC6Music. And weirdly on that, moving on to the next film, is something we talked about with the director, Declan Lowney, last week.
Oh, yeah,
a couple
I heard
of the writers with the Gibbons brothers, was that with Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa, Declan wanted it to be 100 minutes long. They were like, no, we've got to go hard in on the edit on this. We've got to be, it's got to be sharp. We've got to take out anything that anybody questions, which is maybe an approach they should have taken with The Lone Ranger.
It's
certainly paid
longer
off
longer.
With Partridge, that's for sure. It's I think the best comedy film I've ever seen.
Whoa!
Yes.
Amazing.
Put that on the poster. Please put it on the poster. I love it.
And I'm, you know, I absolutely loved Partridge. Just to prove that I'm not a
My
hater.
My expectations were sky high, and then they even surpassed those.
That single
There was a lot of it. I mean, we were talking about this last week. If you missed them on the show last week, please listen to the podcast, because it was fascinating as well. Getting an insight also in terms of having the directors and the writers here, and how, you know, they were involved in the, you know, obviously through the whole process and stuff, but how there were clashes and how one wanted this, one wanted that.
And they did it all in Partridge voices. I love that bit in the interview last week, where it turns out they all do Partridge lines to each other in the voice.
You have to, don't you? Sit around a table with Steve Coogan and doing Partridge at him.
It must be amazing.
Yeah, so get online and you can listen back to the podcast, bbc.co.uk/6music. But that's kind of what they did. You know, they got it down and they kept it sharp. But I had so much expectation on this film. I was scared.
Yeah,
I know. It's a worry, isn't it? It was easily the most eagerly awaited film of the year for a lot of people. And what's interesting is, it'd be great if people got in touch with us and let us know this, because I know loads of people have been to see it, but I'd like to know, you know, was the cinema full last night? Was it full on Thursday night? Because I think it came out on Wednesday. And the big question is, you know, for all the chatter in the media, but of course there's a lot of chatter in the media about Partridge. Everybody in the media loves Partridge. How is it spreading out? Is it translating? Because I heard that it's not selling out
everywhere. Worry it's not. The screening I went to, it wasn't a typical kind of cinema for me. Maybe comedy fans. It's like this place in the middle of Edmonton in an industrial estate. And I was the only person there. It was 11:30 in the morning on a weekday. And then as I was leaving, the next one person came in for the next screening, and I pretty much grabbed his arm and said, oh my God, it's going to change your life. And he looked so frightened. But I hope the cinema's going to fill up in the evenings a bit more.
Let us know if you've seen it and what you think. Again, 64046 at BBC 6 Music. And I mean, when I went to see it, I was, the entire cinema was singing along to Cuddly Toy by Roach.
That was just
you know what I completely admired, by the way, Edith? The fact that you tried to keep that secret, but they absolutely want to put it out there, don't they?
No, it's Cuddly Toy and Rochefort.
It's the best.
That is my favourite 5 minutes of cinema this year.
I stood up and danced to that because there was no one else there to see me, so why not? So I did.
You think.
The CCTV is going to be really interesting, yeah. I don't care. I'm so happy I don't care.
Right, whilst we play this next track, I want you both to admit to me afterwards what you're a geek about, apart from Partridge. And this is our favourite video of the week, Lost Midas. Really interesting, this, and that it's just that interesting idea where, you know, you really put a bit of a thought into to the video that goes with the track and stuff. And for me, this is almost a bit like Minority Report meets Weird Science. The track is called Love Undone. Love the track, love the video. We'd love to know what you think about it. So head to the Six Music Facebook page and leave your thoughts. Let's get the conversation started. And here's the track, Lost Midas and Love Undone. Great, isn't it? Lost Midas and Love Undone. I just got asked a question because we were talking about what Johnny Depp was wearing.
Talking, sorry.
Which we will, you'll hear actually after 12:30. And what was he wearing?
You always want to know.
She was just finishing telling it, sorry, and I was laughing.
And then
really
Nick was like, Zip Flower Butterfly. And I was like, Butterfly.
I knew that. You would
I can't believe you looked there.
Oh dear. That's Lost Midas, Love Undone. It's our music video of the week taken from their Memory Flux EP, which is released on the 2nd of September. What do you guys like it?
I really do. And my husband, who knows about music, told me to say it's a bit like Boards of Canada and Fortet.
Yes,
thank you very much.
I wrote that down.
Otherwise,
it
just
sounds
like
someone's copying
you.
You married?
But we do all know each other a bit, don't we, in a weird way? You don't want to know about that.
No, you don't want to know about our secret relationships. Neither does Julia's husband. So let's just. Nobody's listening to this,
I'm
right?
I'm worried now because Nick's wife's really attractive, and if we're swapping, that's a nightmare for me.
Where is this conversation going?
So Lost Midas by Love Undone. And I'd actually also got written down that it was just like Minority Report, only I'd put Meets Electric Dreams.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
And also, I'll tell you what was distracting though. Didn't you think he looked a bit like Ryland from The X Factor?
With a better haircut and decent glasses. Yeah, it wasn't quite so white teeth, but yeah.
The teeth were a terrible mistake. Ryland, what did you do?
It's a lovely video.
It's a brilliant video.
Check it out. We're going to be talking about Geek Week next. Queens of the Stone Age, and I sat by the Queen. If you've just joined us, it's coming up to 20 past 12. Nick Duncalf and Julia Rayside are with us, and we've already been talking about films out this week and getting a nice reaction actually to a few things, including that track Love Undone. From OT in Cheltenham says, Love Undone is a sample of the picture book theme tune. Scary! Deck Promotions are loving here in Lost Midas on Six Music right now, the video of the week. Thanks. Pleasure. And Chris says, oh my word, the Lost Midas track has just blown my mind. Thank you. What a killer song. Glad you're liking it. The video is up on the Six Music Facebook page, so go and have a look and leave a comment and let us know what you think. Right then, Alpha Papa. Here's what some people are saying about that.
Yes.
Becky in Stroud Green says, Alpha Papa last night cried with laughter, where at one point my contact lens nearly slipped out of my eye. Go see it. Hi guys, Friday night Alpha Papa Ritzy in Brixton was not full. Very surprised, as I thought it would be rammed with people dressed as zombies and sports casual. I've been waiting a long time for this film and I loved it. I'm biased though, as I think Partridge is absolutely genius. I think Alpha Papa was partly so good because it wasn't trying to be anything it wasn't, which I thought was great. Love it when his ego took over, and of course losing his trousers. Fabulous. Thought it was a great modern moral tale to it too, which had more of Sidekick Simon though. I wish it had more of Sidekick Simon though, maybe in the future. Bravo anyway, live in Herne Hill. Aha! And Donna, she does sign off at that. I didn't just add that in. Yeah, Donna in Manchester saw Alpha Papa yesterday evening. Totally agree, R.E. Rochford scene littered with side-splitting moments. Absolutely loved it.
I would also say it is worth seeing it at the pictures.
Oh yeah,
it's worth seeing it at the pictures. I think they've absolutely got it right, that balance between, you know, if you expand a sitcom too much and take it too much outside that world, it won't work.
They go abroad or something like that.
Exactly, like they didn't Are You Being Served. But if you don't do anything with it, then people will go, I'll stay at home and I'll just watch it when it's on DVD. But you should go to the pictures. Seeing and hearing Alan Partridge miming to Cuddly Toy in Dolby surround sound is not an experience you're going to get at home.
It's true.
Oh, I'll go and see it again. Go see it.
Honestly, it's one of the few films in recent weeks, months, years even, that's made me want to go and see it. I just want to see it every day. I wake up and go, oh, I wish I was seeing it today. I've got stuff to do. I really, really loved it.
Some may say you're a Partridge geek then. What are you a geek about?
I am. Do you want to go first? Shameful admission.
Remember, we're only on to one.
Okay, yeah, hurry up.
I'm not that geeky about anything these days. Historically, I've gone through Star Wars phases, but that's just my age.
Yeah.
I've got a Star Wars cookbook somewhere, and you know.
Have you got the Arts and Crafts Star Wars book that you can make a Chewbacca tissue holder?
I need
from?
To get
really?
A hold of this book.
It's amazing. Yeah. You can also make a Jabba the Hutt bean bag. Do it. I'll get one and bring one in for you for next time.
If you wouldn't mind.
Definitely.
My geekery dates back to my teenage years and has come back to bite me on the bum recently because someone asked me about it on Twitter, and then I just innocently replied to someone's question about what was the most pretentious thing you did as a teenager. And I said, when everyone else was writing bad names on their bags, their school bags, I wrote Hamlet on mine because I'm a theatre geek and I still am. Yeah.
Not cigars.
I know, what a loser.
That's a good one.
No, actually Shakespeare plays, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's more me being
lonely,
a nerd.
Lonely, lonely
If it makes
me.
You feel any better, I think that's being a nerd rather than a geek.
Oh, is it? What's the difference?
I don't know, but it just feels more nerdish than geeky.
I'm a theatre nerd.
What would you call Tom and Bath? Virtual synth plugs. I spend all my time installing them into my sequencer and twiddle about like a land pirate.
A geekanoid. Nerd bot. I don't know. Whatever's the most nerdy thing, that's what you are. That's brilliant.
Oh, I love it. I'm painting a Dalek arm today.
Definite
Doctor Who
qualification.
Geek fan.
Oh,
yeah.
I like people
book.
Who make things like that. That's... I made a Dalek cake for my son for his birthday.
Dora.
Which is a Swiss roll with a candle stuck in the side and a Tunnock's tea cake on the top. He loved it.
I think that's what the original Daleks were made
out
of.
Yeah, I think so too.
Totally.
Yeah.
So tell us this whole Geek Week thing then. YouTube have done this and it's in the same way, I guess, that Channel 4 would do a season of programmes.
Yeah. It's the first, as far as I know, it's the first time they've done kind of like a specifically commissioned, you know, presumably there's a budget come from somewhere, but they've made new stuff. Other people have just, sort of contributed mashup stuff and kind of top tens and things as well. But they've made some new programmes, the best of which has been tweeted about most, I think, is if you are my sort of age, mid to late 30s, you might remember Nightmare on ITV, which was the most exceptionally brilliant, exciting game show that I used to watch every week coming in from school. Which is sort of like one of those, it's the first kind of TV role play game where someone kind of puts a helmet on and they can't see, and then their friends guide them around a blue screen maze where there's like annoying jesters jump out and ask you riddles and things. And they've done that again. It's brilliant. They found the guy who played the sort of host, Tregard, and he's back. and it's really funny because at the start of the programme, they turn the chair around and he's sort of like, and he's asleep. And Izzy Sutty, who's playing his assistant.
The same guy.
Yeah, the same guy. He's kind of covered in sort of corn flour and cobwebs and stuff, and he looks really old. You think, oh, bless, he's really old. And then she says, wait a minute, I'll wake him up. And then he wakes up and he looks exactly the same.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he's, like, dyed his hair black. He's got, like, a great big beard. It's brilliant. So that was really nice to see. They've obviously brought some stuff back that, that chimes with people of our sort of... Oh, I'm looking around the room.
But it's not just an age thing. Nightmare was one of the first programmes to have a kind of computer element because they were blue-screening or green-screening kids onto
Don't forget the adventure game as well, though. The adventure game as well. Do you remember
the little red planet?
Yeah, exactly. And that was like a blue screen thing, wasn't it? You had to go across the vortex.
Yeah, I love that.
Try and avoid the big pot plant.
Throwing bits of ham sandwich.
I love that. Yeah.
Everything
that.
Was an anagram of dragon.
Yep.
Used to play that in the car park.
Turns out we're all more geeky than we thought.
See? A bunch of losers.
Embracing the geek. And I love about they've done it is they've almost kind of, they've done it for different generations as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's stuff up there for all ages.
It's quite a random selection. My favourite thing is Brian Blessed presenting like the top 10 kind of fan kind of tributes to their favourite sort of films. And the clips themselves, not that interesting, but Brian Blessed in a beard on blue screen, just booming. And he starts off going, I'm sorry, I've had a bit of a cold. So you think, oh no, Brian's not going to talk properly. And then he goes, I'm only joking, and kind of roars. It's just
Gordon's alive.
Yes, it's everything you want. If you tweet him, he'll tweet that back to you if you ask nicely.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he do all the Flash Gordon stuff on it? Does he you know, all that kind of
not
stuff?
Not on the Geek Week thing, but if you ask him on Twitter, he will, in text. It's not the same.
Shameless.
But,
is that seen as geeky, like when you recite films and stuff, like, bring me the boar worms and all that kind of stuff?
I suppose it is, although it's quite a big film. It's not like... I don't know. Is it niche? It's got to be niche, hasn't it?
Flash
Gordon's definitely a geeky movie.
But then again, everyone watched Nightmare when I was a kid, so I don't know. How do you define it? I don't know.
I don't know, because they also have a lot of kind of sciencey stuff as well, don't they, on Geek Week stuff. And they've also got superhero things. They've sort of themed different things. I mean, what's interesting from a sort of media point of view is that YouTube realised that the way people are watching and consuming media is very, very different. But YouTube is just overwhelming. You might think, I'd like to watch something. I'm just going to go to YouTube. But then what? Where do you go?
Yeah.
Where
it's
do you start?
Like
and that's what they're trying to do, is say to you, look, we can provide you with entertainment, live. like network TV channels can do by theming things for you and just guiding you in certain directions, which they've got to do, because otherwise all people are going to do is what is just Google funny cats or Charlie bit my finger.
Not that, like Alan not that Partridge. We don't love
that. Like Alan Partridge, yeah. Yeah.
Sigurus. And Stormer on Six Music. We still got our video of the week up on the Six Music website. It's a thing we started last week, and it's really nice, just a way of us kind of, you know, sharing it as well as playing the track or visually showing you what they've got to offer. And this week's music video is Lost Midas at Love Undone. It's been getting a great response to you guys and stuff on Twitter as well.
I loved it. And straight after I watched that, I immediately watched, because, you know, sometimes you get, and if you like this, you'll like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the new editor's video from Aldehyde, which I just thought was fantastic. That sort of word. A mention. I know you can't mention it, so that's why I'm not mentioning it. But it's the first, you know, it's the first time Ben Wheatley's made a music video. And when you think that most directors make their entire career from music videos before they move into features, the fact that Ben Wheatley, who made A Field in England, in case you don't know who he is, the fact that he's making a video suddenly is really exciting. And it's this sort of dark, kind of gothic Western kind of theme. And I, you know, there's a bloke dragging a coffin across a desert land. It's really good.
Maybe he should have done The Lone Ranger.
Here we go.
It would have been, you know, actually.
Can you imagine The Lone Ranger on mushrooms?
part of the problem with The Lone Ranger is it's The Lone Ranger, though. Yeah. If it had just been a Western, it might have been more exciting, but The Lone Ranger's a bit of a boring character. Sorry.
Shall we hear from not The Lone Ranger himself, but from Johnny Depp?
Lovely Johnny.
Lovely Johnny, who obviously has this kind of relationship with certain directors that he's worked with, whether it be Tim Burton or Gore Verbinski. He's worked on previously with Pirates and stuff, and back again for The Lone Ranger. And I began asking him if this film was kind of inspired, because visually Gore's kind of very much kind of tipped his hat, I think, to the golden age of matinee cinema and sprawling westerns.
Most definitely. I mean, Gore is such a great filmmaker but he's also a filmmaker who's able to, you know, with a very original vision, but he's also able to, you know, acknowledge his heroes and, you know, like films like Once Upon a Time in the West. Mm. Those great Sergio Leone classics and stuff. For me, it was an opportunity to do a movie that was entertaining, funny, and also had a deeper message, you know, beyond. But yeah, the idea that you could go in, you know, at whatever age and enjoy the ride, it was certainly on our minds a lot.
I heard you say that this was a bit of a dream come true on a number of levels as well. Mm. What were they?
Well, after, you know, 100 and something years of cinema and the way the Native Americans have been portrayed for the most part in cinema is as sort of, well, lesser thans or, savages or whatever. So it was an opportunity for me to try to, you know, at least attempt to start slaying that dragon.
Yeah.
Just wanting to be able to reach kids, for example, on the reservation who have nothing to hope for. They barely have running water, you know. These kids come from warriors. So if I get 15 kids, you know, to watch the film and get the feeling that, yeah, I do want to know about my culture. I want my language to survive. Mm. You know, then my job, I'm clean. I feel good. You know?
I have the feeling that that Tonto was very much your creation, and that you were very involved in forming him and what he became on screen. Would that be a right assumption?
Yeah, pretty much. I so wanted the film to happen. I very much wanted the film to happen. And I remember it was a weekend when I was doing the Rum Diary in Puerto Rico. And my makeup artist, this brilliant makeup artist, Joel Harlow, and I went out. We did the makeup exactly as it is in the film. We did the whole thing, the bird, everything, and just wandered out into the weeds of, you know, outside San Juan and took these photographs. And that was pretty much how the film got its, you know, sort of green light. I brought the photographs to Bruckheimer.
Wow.
He brought them to Disney and they said, yeah. You know.
Wow.
So it was a very interesting.
What power to have.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. They, you know, they rolled the dice on me, I guess, which is, you know, very nice of them.
But they probably know, and I get this as well as being a film fan, every role that you take on, you know, whether it is Rum Diaries or whether it's this or even if it's Rango with a voice, you know, you inhabit those characters. That really important for you. Feel like, you know, you've completely inhabited that space and also around that character as well.
Oh yeah, it's certainly a part of the process that's enjoyable, but it's most enjoyable. I mean, getting to know that character so that the character becomes second nature, and it's not like you have to, or at least like I have, I don't, you know, like go home as the character, even though elements will sort of stick to you.
Yeah.
Elements of the character, but I don't, you know, it's like you don't walk to the craft service table and pick up a Frito thinking you're Henry VIII or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. You want to go home and be you at night, basically. Yeah. Can we talk about music for the last couple of minutes? Because,
sure.
I mean, you're a musician, but you're also a huge music fan. And
yeah.
And Six Music, BBC station, you know, we have the doors open for you anytime you want to come and
wow.
share your music collection with us.
Oh, that'd be
we've already come up with the name of the show, Johnny Depp's, you know, which is the name for people covering for shows. So
exactly.
It's there for you whenever you want it. What are you listening to right now?
I'll tell you, I mean, an album that I don't know. There's an album that I just received that is a band of guys that I've known from Romania for years called the Tarafta Haiduks. And I've just got their new record, and it's just insane, beautiful gypsy music.
Wow.
Lately, what have I been? I've been listening to a lot of Big Star lately.
Okay.
Again, you know, going back to the Big Star
yeah.
stuff.
I remember the last time we talked about music, you were Bat for Lashes was your big thing at that time.
Bat for Lashes is still.
It's
still such incredible stuff. You know, White Buffalo. Have you
no.
heard White Buffalo?
This is all great recommendations for us.
White Buffalo is really, really nice.
Okay, we can play one of those tracks if you.
He did one of the tracks on it. We did a sort of an album of music that would sort of be inspired by the film The Lone Ranger and. White Buffalo is one of the artists on it, and he wrote what I believe is the great anthem for which should be the great anthem for the Native American. You know.
Shall we play it?
That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
So I'll die to be free.
Depp's choice, The White Buffalo, The American Dream. And yes, I did just offer him his own show on music.
Anything you want, Johnny. Take it. Did you have it?
Johnny Depp's. That was inspired, though. Do you know what I think?
It's a really good
Absolutely.
Title. I think, could he do it with like the bird on his head? I think get him some special headphones with a bird stuck to the top. That'd make him feel at home.
He looks good on 50 as well, man. Jeez.
Yeah, just looking
peeps.
At the picture of you with
there's
him.
A, there's oh, a
that, actually,
of you.
That happened.
He
yeah.
looks about 28.
He called me doll. Yep.
You notice I'm just not saying anything.
Nothing.
We love him. We love
I'm
him.
A man. I hate him.
Yeah. Niente, nothing. Lone Ranger is out in cinemas and we'd like to know what you think about it. 64046 at BBC Six Music.
It's rubbish, sorry.
Keep right, leave it now. Walk away from a high or silver. Let's move on. Okay.
Greatness.
Frank Turner on Six Music right then. If you are just joining us, 9 minutes left. Liz is with you from 1 o'clock. She's joined by musician Ian McNabb from Icicle Works. But before then, we're going to talk about this new thing that's hitting, just to remind people as well, Top of the Lakes tonight, BBC Two, penultimate episode.
I've finished it now, Edith.
What?
I basically want to cry all the time. Every time I think about it, I just want to hug a pillow and wish that it never had happened.
What really?
It's just the last episode is so hard. It's
oh
so
God.
It's brilliantly made.
What with
my
that and Southcliffe?
God, just,
I mean, we need a bit of lightness
and,
in our
and
lives.
And the mill, jeepers creepers. It's really just like, I don't know, surround yourself by cushions, do something.
Okay. We're going to be talking about Southcliffe next week, actually. Joe Dempsey from the show is going to be
yes.
joining us.
Oh,
on
it's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's on tomorrow night, I believe. But tonight we've got That Puppet Game Show, 6:45, BBC One. So the premise of it is it's some Henson puppets.
It's produced by Brian Henson, who's the son of Jim Henson, and it's obviously a British program, and they've basically. In fact, they've invented a new cast of puppets, Muppet puppets, basically, and they've got some really good comedy writers in, and it's basically a game show. Two celebrities come in each week, play a load of silly games, and win money for charity. But the puppets kind of running the show. There's the nice sort of Muppet backstage stuff as well, where you kind of see them all basically exactly like the Muppets. But it's what I really like about it, and I know there's some dissension in the studio. But what I really talk of, keep me open mind.
I know.
If any of you saw Edith tweeting last night, yeah, she doesn't like it. But it's a program that kind of tackles a problem that TV never seems to get right. It's a proper family show. It's on at 6:45. It's, you know, just after tea. The family can sit down and watch this together. I think it will take, people should give it a bit of time to establish the characters. The Muppets had familiarity. You knew who all the characters were. You know that Miss Piggy loves Kermit and is really horrible, and Kermit loves her and is a really nice, you know all of those characters already. You don't know these puppets yet, so you've got to, you know, you just jump straight in when there's no exposition. You just start listening to them talk to each other, so you don't know them yet. Give yourself a chance to get familiar with them. But it's written by a big writing team, but it's headed by the Dawson brothers, who have done a really brilliant comedy pilot called, I think it was the Dawson Brothers Fun Time. They're basically three blokes who I don't think are brothers. Maybe two of them are or something. But anyway, they're brilliant comedy writers, and they're always kind of writing for other people's shows. They've written Total Wipeout. They do lots of Saturday night stuff. And this is them kind of getting a chance to be a little bit sillier than they normally do.
Sillier than Total Wipeout?
Well, no, just that they get to write like slightly surreal, odd stuff. And they're kind of stretching their, you know, proper comedy wings like they should be doing. And maybe the first episode doesn't wholly work as a kind of... because it's all the games. You're thrown into it, but the games are brilliant. It's very like Families at War.
Punch Your Lights Out was good, I have to say. I liked Punch Your Lights Out. That was really
good.
Yeah,
the two guests they have on tonight are Jonathan Ross and Catherine Jenkins. Yep. And the Punch Your Lights Out, they're covered in little sort of, well, lights, and they have boxing. They have to punch their own lights out. So they're basically Jonathan Ross and Catherine Jenkins punching themselves. A lot of people would enjoy that.
Well, there's the one where they're standing on trampolines behind a high garden wall, sort of jumping up and trying to count or trying to sort of look at things over the wall, which again is really silly. It's very kind of, it's very Vic and Bob in its kind of sensibility. It's kind of daft. And it may have a shaky start, but please give it a chance because I think it's going to be a good family show.
See, I heard as well that there was a previous kind of incarnation of it that Danny Baker had done
the
writing
for. Well, yes, because there's Dr. Trebismus, whatever
that was like,
in there,
yes!
Which is one of his, yeah.
But can I quickly run you through my notes as I watched it?
Go on, then.
So why not just show the Muppets?
Host is
basically Paddy McGuinness.
He does sound a lot like
that. Don't know who it's aimed at. Scottish hot dogs. I'm offended by the people doing these voices.
So touching.
Canned laughter. Even the little music stings between games sound like something that's already been used.
If you say canned laughter in this studio, I may start ricocheting off the walls with fury. It's an audience. It's a studio audience. It's a game show with an audience. They're not canned. They're not recorded. It's just laughter in the studio.
Don't believe you.
Move on. It's true.
Did you not like the hot dogs? The singing hot dogs?
Not really.
Could Graham Linehan phone in and tell us about candle after, please? Someone just needs to put this to bed once and for all.
I think I do. I think that's part of the problem is that I have such affection for the Muppets.
Yeah. I know, and that's why it's very difficult. You know those Muppets.
And I don't know these ones. How dare you try
it's actually
and
a little bit
you
like.
You have to get to know these ones. Okay. Give them a chance.
Right. Muppets just did do a BBC show, didn't they, about 15 years ago, called Muppets Tonight, which was behind the scenes of a TV show. So it's actually quite similar to that, but you just want Kermit to just show up for a minute or two.
I know.
Just to give him
fuzzy
bear,
waka waka. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You could do it.
I could.
Get down there.
I could be. Just ask me to do the hot dogs. Don't fuzzy get someone in a really bad
true.
Scottish accent
yeah,
doing
that
it.
That wasn't good.
See? Yeah.
Just that one. That accent was not good.
Well, it's on tonight. It's the first one tonight, 6:45.
Watch it with the kids. They'll probably inject some of the joy for
I will,
you.
Actually. I will. I watch it with Rude. He's five, and I'm sure he'll absolutely love it because he loves the Muppets. Listen, thanks so much, guys, for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Been a pleasure.
I'll hopefully see you soon, and I will get you both those Star Wars little books of making Jabba the Hutt.
Can I have a Wookiee tissue holder,
you
please?
You definitely can. I'll make you one. Right, listen, we are back next week. It says we're talking about Southcliffe. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
Thanks for listening to this free download from the BBC. For more Six Music downloads, go to the Six Music website now.